Just like I saw in that vision with that ocean wave Jesus was riding on. It was Jesus, just Jesus. And then behind him was all those waves of blessings. And he told me, he said, you can't separate me from my blessings. You just can't separate me. That's who I am. I'm a God of abundance. I'm a God who loves to bless. And while we were just singing this song, I need thee every hour. Oh, I need thee, Lord. I need thee, Lord. I felt that the Lord was saying those things that you need personally. Yes, he's dealing with those, but specifically for you, the Lord showed me that there's somebody you've been crying out for, somebody that you love dearly and that is in desperate need of help from God. And he says, I'm taking care of that for you. So just grab it, receive it. He said it, he's doing it. Okay? Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you that you are just so wonderful to us, Lord God. And the wonderful, wonderful manifestation of your glory that we're seeing, Lord. We just want more and more and more of you. That's all we want is more of you, Lord. We just can't get enough of you. Just one taste of how good you are, God, drives us to just want more and more and more. This is a wonderful, wonderful time we're living in. Wonderful time. We know that it's the year of Jubilee. And in this year of Jubilee, there's a double portion that's being poured out of God's blessings. He's not just giving us one thing, but he's doubling it up on us. So good. So good. And we've been seeing that for us personally. With Pastor Jack, it's just been, you know, the enemy attacked him. He was in the hospital for a month, last July into August, July and August, and with a brain tumor, non-cancerous surgery, and just tough, tough time. And lost a lot during that time. And the time preceding it, lost a lot. He had to sell his motorcycle because he couldn't drive it anymore. He didn't have the balance. He didn't have the strength. He didn't tell me that's why he sold the motorcycle, but I found out afterwards that was why. Because, of course, men don't want to let their wives know that they're not feeling quite right. So, but we wives know. And so he lost his motorcycle and work with the COPs. He wasn't able to do the things he could have done and felt he really lost ground there. So many things that he had going on in his life, he lost, you know. But we're in the year of Jubilee, and that started in September. And so it's a year of restoration. I'm just using him as an example because how many of us suffered this past year and the years before? Let's all say, all of us, we've all been through it, something or another. But God is faithful. God is so faithful. He says something. He says, when I say something, I perform my word. Isaiah 55. I'm quick to perform my word, and I perform the words of my prophets. What I declare, I do. My word never returns void. And so if he says, this is a year of Jubilee, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm not just going to bless you regular, I'm going to bless you double, then that's what he does. So we know. He got up and gave a testimony last week, but for those of you that weren't here, I'll say it. Ha! He! So he sold his motorcycle prior to the surgery, got a car with the proceeds, a nice Camaro convertible that's sitting out there. It was God's blessing. But still, you know, missed his motorcycle deep down inside. So now he's doing so good. The other day we were going looking for plants for the yard, and there's this motorcycle parked out front that looked just like a twin to the one he had. And the next day he had it, sitting in the garage. And he's been riding it ever since, every day. And not only that, on Monday, when he went into work, he was promoted from lieutenant to captain. So he's Captain Jack now. I'm going to get him a captain hat. Is that cool? God takes care of every single thing that concerns us. And he restores double for our trouble. What happened to Job? Huh? What happened to Job? He lost everything. The devil got the key to his life. He went in and pillaged that poor man in a day. All his property, the wealthiest man in the world, became the poorest in a day. And his kids, grown kids, all killed. And what did God do? You read the account, and it's exactly double. He stayed faithful to God in the midst of that trial. The end of it, we read the last chapter in Job. Every single thing he had, if he had 10,000 sheep, he got 20,000. Doubled. And that's who we are. We are God's kids. And what he does for one, he's no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for another. And so he did that for Job. Guess what? He did it for Jack, too. Every single thing. I sat with the Lord, and he showed me. It didn't even dawn on me when all these things were happening. The Lord spoke to me and said, I'm giving him back double. Double. Double everything that was taken from him. So now he's got a car, a Camaro convertible. It's supposed to be mine, but we know how that goes. Camaro convertible and a motorcycle. When he only, before he got sick, just had a motorcycle. You get it? See? He was a lieutenant, and he still got the same job and everything, but now he's a captain with new job and more fun. He loves it. It's like going out to play for a kid, but a grown man. Cool. He loves funerals and being an escort and with the siren going and leading the cars, and he thinks that's great, so. What? They do. He does an awesome job. He loves it. Loves it. Keeps us all safe. So it's just been one thing after another, watching God restore. Was it tough going through that trial? Oh, you bet. Oh, you bet. A month at the hospital was no picnic. Praise God through the whole thing. Worship God through it. Try to keep my mind fixed on the Lord. He was the model patient. All the nurses fought so that they could take care of him. Huh? Set a good example for everybody. But it sure wasn't fun. Sure wasn't fun. He coded twice. So it was a tough time. But now we're on the other side of it. And we're at the side where God is just bringing in the victory now, the provision. And I just believe that this is for all of us to look at and say, he's a forerunner. I'm a forerunner in this because what he suffered, I suffered. Now he get the provision, I'm getting the provision. So it's a double thing, you know? And so the thing is that you guys, now let your faith arise, okay? And you declare, hey, blessings come forth. I'm going to do it right now, all right? Let faith arise in you, and I'm going to command those things that have been stolen from you, jobs that have been stolen from you, finances that have been stolen from you, relationships that have been stolen from you, health that's been stolen from you, huh? We've all lost stuff. We've all lost stuff. But that's not what's on those waves. That double portion, that's the Holy Spirit showing me right now. That's what's on that wave of Jesus riding in today. So, Lord, I thank you that you are a God who is so faithful and so wonderful and so powerful and so mighty and so loving and so good that you are bringing into us right now restoration, restoration of every single thing that was stolen from us in seasons past. All the finances doubled. Okay? Double. You know what God told me? Double for your trouble. Double for your trouble. Receive it now by faith. The finances that were stolen from you, by shady business deals, by people, whatever. Truly the enemy behind every bit of it. Health that was stolen from you, receive back double the health. Receive it back right now. Double the health be restored to you in the name of Jesus. Just receive it like a gift. It's riding on the waves, and you just take it in your hand. Receive it. Double the health. Double the health to your knee. Double the health. Receive. Huh? Receive. You're already starting to partake in those blessings. Huh? You're like Pastor Jack, that forerunner. We're watching God restore your life. But more God. God says, I got lots more for you. Lots more. You haven't seen anything yet. So I got complete restoration of relationships, finances, all the stuff you've lost over the years, property, things that were you had and you've lost them. Be restored in the name of Jesus, every one of you. Property you've lost through swindlers or whatever, even bad decisions we've made. Be restored double in the name of Jesus. Relationships, I've seen that happen in these past weeks enormously. In the name of Jesus, I command, right now, just receive it by faith. You think, how in the world can God restore these relationships? God is God. God is God. In the name of Jesus, I command relationships to be restored. In the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's telling me, Chris, that you have relationships, but some of the hearts of some of the of your sons aren't quite where they need to be. He's going to do that, and it's going to be double. Whatever your relationship was like before you went through this trial that you've been going through, whatever that was like before, it's going to be double, double, okay? Better than it ever was. That's, just receive it right now. He's doing it right now. That's a right now word. Thank you, Lord, for that. And Lord God, you're no respecter of persons for all of us in here. Huh? What you just did for Chris, what you did for Job, what you did for Jack, we're asking that for all of us. That our sons and our daughters, our grandchildren, the relationships we long to have with them, they're restored double what they were before the enemy even touched them. In the name of Jesus, receive it. Receive it. The honor, God wants us honored. He wants us respected. He wants us treated like sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who we are. So receive now. Receive it. That's all we got to do. We just got to take it and receive it. Is that the coolest thing? We don't have to go and make them love us. We don't have to go and make them be nice to us. We don't have to go and make them understand us. Our God is going to go before us and do it all. We just got to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I love you, God. I receive it, God. I receive of your abundance, God. God, you're so good. You're so good. God says, taste and see. Taste and see how good I am. Taste and see. You know, just spend some time with me. And let me show you how much I love you. Let me show you what I think of you, and let me show you who I am. Let me show you what I long to do for you. Let me show you. Taste and see how good I am. Good God, such a good God, such a wonderful God. I'm going to talk to us today. That was just a prelude. What did I do? Oh, here it is. Forgot my glasses at home, so we're going to see how we do here today without my reading glasses and the glory between the two of them. I don't know. But the Lord's been speaking to me about the condition of the church, not our church, the church world, and how the church world really has suffered greatly in the years, in past years, and has diminished in its effectiveness. The way that the church really in the 50s, the 60s, didn't do much of anything when abortion became the law of the land and once again was pretty ineffective in stopping the change in the legalization of homosexual marriages. The church has just lost its voice, its power, its effectiveness. And the boldness, the courage, it's hasn't been in the church. With this revival, that will change. That will change. The Lion of Judah will roar through the church once again. The church's voice will be restored to it. But one of the things that the Lord was showing me was that at the early church in Acts chapter 2, we see where at Pentecost, what happened to the church. Here, I mean, the church was 120. They were gathered in an upper room praying. And we know the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So they encountered the glory, much like we're encountering the glory now in this hour. They were drunk in the Holy Spirit, so much so that thousands of people gathered to hear what this ruckus was. They could hear them all praying in tongues, praying in foreign languages, and they didn't understand what this was, because they were from all over to coming there to celebrate this feast, the Feast of Pentecost. And when they did, they heard them speaking in their languages, in their dialects. And they're like, what's going on? And they were so under the anointing, under the glory. That's a picture of what happens when the glory's poured out. This morning, the glory hit me so strong coming in here that when I went into the back room back there, I was completely drunk in the Spirit. I had to sit in a chair. The glory of God was on me so strong. That's when I saw that vision of the ocean wave and Jesus riding on it, and he was giving me the revelation of what he wanted to do this morning. It was so wonderful. Wonderful. It's just glorious. Well, that's what was going on with these guys, you know? And so God came and just came upon them, and they were just undone. And so Peter gets up all bold and courageous, like a lion, this scared guy that, you know, was afraid to let a 12-year-old know that he followed Jesus, was one of his followers, and he denied Jesus before Jesus was crucified. Here he is now, under the power of the Holy Spirit, completely transformed, stands up there and preaches his first sermon, and 3,000 people get saved. Cool? That's so cool. But what I want to really kind of focus on is what happened to the people afterwards. It's after they got, they said, what are we to do? He told them, you know, you crucify the Lord of glory. So who was in that crowd of those 3,000 people? It's people that were in the crowd yelling, crucify him, for Jesus. That's who was gathered there. And they said, what are we to do? Repent. Just tell God you're sorry and be baptized. So they repented. They all got baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says this is what happened to them. This is what happens when God pours his glory out. There's such an enormous transformation that happens in people. All right, so we got to get ourselves ready, because we are in it. We are in it. I have been in revival before. I know revival. We are in it, without a doubt. I'm seeing miracles beyond miracles beyond miracles. Tuesday night at Hastings Youth Academy, the most incredible, powerful night we've had. They give us at the most 10 kids. 16 kids, the boys come in. I'll get back to this. The boys come in, and Ray, who I don't know what happened to them this morning, but they were planning on being here. And last week, the Holy Spirit moved on Ray, and I was given a prophetic word about one of the boys at Hastings, and the Lord told me he was doing the same thing for him, that he was changing him, he'd never be the same. He comes with us on Tuesday nights. He was telling us in the car how he had died, gave us this powerful testimony, how he had died about 35 years ago, had a heart attack and literally died. And he went and saw you know how you people say they see the bright light? Well, that happened to him. And Jesus appeared to him and told him, I'm not done with you, you have to go back. And so he's telling, I never knew this about him. I've known him for 20-something years. I'm like, I never knew you saw Jesus. And yeah. So then he's telling us how he feels when he raises his hands, what it does, how he can feel the glory touching his hands. The higher he reaches, the more he feels the glory. And so here's these 16 boys. I said, Ray, would you tell these boys what happened to you? He gets up. No, he's always told me, I'll come with you, and I'll assist you. Just like, don't ever ask me to pray or speak, ever. So I said, would you mind telling the boys what happened to you? Like a pro. He gives them his testimony. Tells them how he had a heart attack, what happened to him, what he saw, what Jesus said to him. And the kids are like this, because it's a guy telling them. And then I said, would you explain to them how you feel when you raise your hands? And he's telling them exactly what happens. Powerful. These boys, just like, so the boys, they start opening up. And this kid says, I've been reading a book on voodoo. Yeah? Yeah? I've been reading a book on voodoo. And he said, and it tells you in this book how to capture the souls of people. Yeah, it was big time witchcraft. So I said, that's witchcraft. And he went into details about this. And then the kid sitting next to him said, I read a little bit of it too, and I got a pain right here in my chest, like fire right in my chest, and I threw it down. And these kids recognized it was evil. And so this is what they're doing. They're letting me know. I did something bad. What do I do? So we went into witchcraft again, which had happened with the other dorm on Saturday. They were all playing the Ouija board and explained to them this happened Saturday. So I explained to them, told them it was the enemy getting the key to get into their life. I said, you can't dance with the devil. You were dancing with the devil reading that book. I said, would you let somebody who's going to steal, kill, and destroy come into your house, into your life? No. Well, you did by reading that voodoo book. And so I said, they're like, what do we do? Just like here at Pentecost, what do we do? Because all the kids were involved in this some way or another, whether through the voodoo or palm reading, tarot cards. In the past, they were all like, I said, repent. God will forgive you immediately, but you got to renounce it. You got to let the devil know, I want nothing to do with you. I want back the key that I gave you to my life. I renounce you, Satan. So we led them through all that. So then I said, okay, now we're going to worship. All 16 of them stood up and worshiped just like this. Our God, they sang at the top of their lungs. Because Ray got up and gave his testimony. How that impacted those kids. We are living in tremendously wonderful times. Tremendously, tremendously. So one of the kids that was, a bunch of them actually, were brand new. These kids all got saved the last time we were there. Now they're in there, and I made brown sugar bars and juice. Jack got it ready and was passing it out to them after we prayed for them. They're sitting there so in the glory, in the anointing, that they're not eating their brown sugar bars and their juice. And boys love brown sugar bars. Like this. I told them, put your hands out like this. And they had them sitting in chairs and just going praying over them for the Holy Spirit to fill them. God so touched them. They're just sitting there like that. And the brown sugar bars are sitting on the floor. Waiting for them. And they're just like, who cares about the brown sugar bars? I got something better. That's what God's doing. God, only God. To watch God do this, I'm like, this is revival. This is revival. These kids, to humble themselves and admit in front of all the other kids they did something wrong. And one of the kids said, I read your book, and I know what hell's like, and I don't want to go there. I'm not reading that book. Tell us what to do. Awesome. So here's a similar thing happening at Pentecost. We crucified Jesus. We spit at him. We mocked him. We jeered him. We ridiculed him. They were the people that was going by the cross, shaking their fist at him, screaming, cursing him. These are them. Now they're, what are we to do? Repent. Repent. Just repent. Just tell God you're sorry. Don't carry that load of guilt. Tell God you're sorry and get baptized. Fill with the Holy Spirit. And so they did. And then this is what happened. They devoted themselves, all these thousands of people, to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Pretty powerful, huh? That's a pretty big transformation in a bunch of selfish flesh bags. What they were? Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They went to church every day. That's revival. I'm watching the revival, the San Diego revival. It's been going 84 or 80-something days. And then the one in Seattle, Washington is like probably 40 days. Every day people are there. Every day. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Do you see what the glory does, how the glory changes people? Huh? This is what God's going to do to those people that you had some people too, you're showing me, that you brought before him. He's going to do this to them. Okay? Cool, huh? Like that, the glory, in the glory, something that would have taken forever to change, like that changes. These people get changed like that. These boys at Hastings are getting changed like that. Staff that gave us a hard time for years and years and years. We've been going there for many years. Like that, they're changed. I'm like that, watching God do these miracles. Awesome. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. And fervently loving the favor of all the people. Having a tough time reading. My Bible's so mocked up. Plus no glasses today. And then I'm just going to read in 1 John. And I'm going to encourage you, if you could, this week, spend some time meditating on this chapter. In John, 1 John, the whole book, the whole letter. Because it's just a few chapters. And it's just so full of wonderful, wonderful nuggets. Jesus taught before he died in John chapter 13, he said, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. He had taught us before that to love one another. Huh? And to love God with all heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love each other as we love ourselves. Love. But now he says, okay, a new commandment I give you. Love as I love. How did he love? Unto death. Greater love has no man than that he lay down his life for his friend, he told them. That's what I'm asking you to do now. Then he says, by your love, all men will know that you are my followers. By this love. That's why the church is so weak and insipid. Because we don't see that kind of love that we're seeing here happen in the early church. When we see our brother or our sister in need, are we willing to help them out, to pray for them, to bless them, to go out of our way? In the past, the church hasn't been doing that. We just put in our time, go to church and go home and just do our thing, and we're just wrapped in ourselves. But with this glory, we're going to see that transformation. I told you the story about the pastor, one of the pastors that's kind of heading this revival, how the Lord told him, follow that lady in Walmart, and whatever she wants to buy, buy it for her. Whatever she buys, you buy it, you pay for it. And he did, with an excited, glad heart. Why? Because he's got the glory all over him. I'd be like, oh God, that can't be you. I don't have that much money, God. So as the story unfolds, the lady only buys a bottle of vitamins. So he goes up to her, he says, I know you probably think I was stalking you, following you through the store. He said, but I just got to tell you, God told me to pay for whatever you bought. And all you've got is a bottle of vitamins. Go find something else. But she wouldn't. She said, nope, this is all I need. This is all I need. And what's God saying to us today? What do you want? What do you need? It's paid for. Okay? Don't settle for a bottle of vitamins. He's saying, I'm going to take care of your loved ones. I'm going to give you your health back. I'm giving you your strength back. I'm giving you your joy back. I want to do a load of stuff for you, but it's up to you what you receive. It was up to that lady what she got. She settled for a bottle of vitamins. You get it? Today, we're not going to settle for a bottle of vitamins, are we? We're going to settle for double. Double for our trouble. Double. Is God good? You're getting it, huh? God is so good. Let's see. Anyone in John, this, I'm going to read you a little bit of 1 John, if I can see it. Oh. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know what he is doing because the darkness has blinded him. And we've got to guard our hearts against hatred. And this week, the Lord spoke to me. He talked to me a lot this week. One of the things he said was how different the United States would have been if instead of his people being so angry with President Obama and that administration and being just caught up in all that we had prayed for him. If we had used our energy to pray for him, how different the outcome would have been. I was like, huh? So I redouble my effort to pray for, my commitment to pray for President Obama for the rest of his administration. Let's all do that. And anybody else, because sometimes we don't hate the people that are around us, but we might hate somebody that we're seeing on the news that's causing our loved ones or ourselves a lot of grief. We might hate ISIS, and God's saying, pray for your enemies. Yeah? So we got to pray for these people with a sincere heart, with a heart of love, and not a critical heart. And then if we do that, we're going to see such a transformation in this world. But as the glory comes upon us, these are the things the Lord's going to be leading us to do. He's going to be leading us to love in not just word, but to love in deed and in truth. Okay, and that's over here. Okay, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. That's what's going to happen to us in this glory. God's going to begin to start speaking to us like he did to that gentleman. Go pay for that lady's stuff. We might be in the grocery store and somebody in front of us is really in need and they're struggling to pay for what they have, and the Holy Spirit might say, pay for her food. Yeah. God might, I'm not saying he will, but he might. There's things God might do. Our neighbor might be having a tough time. And God might say, make her some soup. Or bake her some cookies. Or give this to them. You know, that's what happened to the early church. They didn't just love in an ethereal way. They loved right down to, they sold all they had. And they shared everything in common. I'm not saying we have to do that, and I don't feel God's telling us to do that. But I do think he is saying that there's going to be some situations arising where you're going to notice, because the glory's on you, because my love, my goodness, the glory is his goodness. The glory is his presence. Who is God? God is love. And so we're going to be so overwhelmed with God's love that love is going to have to manifest, because love gives. What does God do? God gives. God just gives. So God might cause us to give. And sometimes it's easy to give a few dollars, but God might be saying, I want you to give a little bit of your time and go visit that sick person that you know. Or make a phone call and call so-and-so and just say a little prayer for them on the phone. Those are the things. And if we respond the way he wants us to, oh my goodness, we are going to see miracles. We are going to see glory change people's lives. That's why we're so effective at Hastings, because we go there with love. For no other reason. Because we love God. He wants us to go, and we love. He puts his love for those kids in us. We can't stop from going, huh? We just want to go love them and bring them, let them know there's somebody that loves you. There's somebody that cares for you. God loves you. We love you. And these guys are using that love as that avenue, that wave that God's riding on right into Hastings. Ah, and changing them. How many of us, our family members, need that? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. We got to ride on that wave of love into our family members and let the love of God pour through us and restore some relationships that need to be restored his way. His way. Even to the degree of letting people bless us that hurt us. We might need to let some people bless us. Like the lady in the store didn't let herself be blessed. God might want to use your enemy to bless you, and you'll be like, no, thank you. I don't think so, inside. Huh? But supposing God puts it on your, somebody that's really been tough on you, puts it on their heart to do something nice for you. We got to let them. We got to let them, because we got to let that love flow. We got to let that love bring restoration and healing. Jesus had to do it with those 3,000 that were standing there. Huh? He did it with them. He let them bless him. He brought them into his family. We're following him. We're following him. So this revival that we're in, I want you to let your level of faith arise. You're here, you're in it. You're here, you're in it. I don't care if you come once a month or you're just visiting once in a while, you're in it. People that have just been coming because of where our church is located, we don't always see everybody every week. They call me, they give me reports. Incredible financial miracles. Like Pam heading home, incredible protection. The woman, the staff there, I maybe see her once a month, twice a month. Protection of God. Okay? You're here. You're here. God wants your faith to arise because you only receive what you believe. Okay? So let's let our level of faith arise. We're going to worship now. Worship our God who wants to just bless us. We're going to bless him. Bless him with all that is within us. We're going to come up. For those of you that are new, we're going to take communion, bring it back to our seats. We'll take communion together. If you have an offering or tithe, you can put it in the basket. Now pray for that. But the most important thing when we come forward here is we rededicate our lives every week to the Lord. I'm yours, God. I'm yours. I'm yours. That's what he wants more than anything, our whole life. I'll live this life the way you want me to live it. I'm going to let your light shine through me. I'm going to let you bless through me and heal through me. This glory, this revival is not for it to stay inside the walls of the church with people rolling on the floor laughing and, oh, that's a great big party and I love that. It's, yeah, get filled up, get drunk in the spirit, and then bring it out. Bring it out. Take it to where I send you. I'm not going to tell all of you go to Hastings because you're not all called to go there. If you feel led to, you can. But you might be led to have to go to one of your family members and pray a prayer for them or make a phone call. Like there's some people in here that need to make some phone calls and pray for some people. Step out of the boat. Can I pray for you? You'll be surprised at the wonderful miracles God's going to do. This is the hour we've been waiting for and we've been praying for signs and wonders, for miracles. Many times I look down, I got gold dust on my hands. I was praying on the phone with Madeline last week. I'm like, oh, there's gold dust all over my hands. She says, I want that too. And she says, I don't know what it is. My hands are all wet and greasy. She had oil. The oil, the anointing oil. God's just sovereignly. This revival, they had it. I didn't see that one, but somebody told me about it. People had so much oil that was just sovereign from the Holy Spirit. Coming off the hands that they had containers and they were just holding their hands over and it was dripping off their hands into the containers. Ah, signs and wonders. Angel feathers are just not coming down, going up. Yeah. These things are happening during, right now, this hour, in the West Coast. It's called the West Coast Rumble. The Holy Spirit is moving. God is moving. He's doing wonderful things. And why does he do those things? To raise our level of faith. So when we go out and we pray for somebody, can I pray for you? And you pray for that person and God heals them. What's going to happen? Faith. They're going to want to run to God. They're going to want to be right close to him. And that's why he's doing these things, because he wants to draw his children to him. Let's all stand. I'm going to pray for the offering.